Hello, friends. Welcome back to Bible Sunshine. This is Bible Sunshine 90, number 90. We praise God for His goodness to us and for the opportunity that we've had to study the book of Philippians together. So we're coming today from the basement cove of East End Baptist Church in Brooklyn. It's a cloudy, rainy day outside. I'm thankful for the rain. I'm thankful that it's cooled off a little bit. And I trust that today we will have showers of blessings on each of our hearts. Well, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Thank you, Father, for the day. Thank you for loving us. Thank you for sunshine. Thank you for rain. Thank you that you carry us through the toils of life and that we can depend on you. Teach us, Lord, as we study this very important subject of how to trust you in financial ups and downs. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'd like to read from Philippians chapter 4, and then we're going to go to two passages in the Gospels. Philippians chapter 4, notice verse 14. Nevertheless, you have done well that you shared in my distress. You have done well in that you shared. We're learning how to deal with financial ups and downs, how to trust God in those circumstances, and how to live within the means provided by God. So far, we've learned this. We need to learn the secret of contentment, verses 11 and 12. We've learned this. We need to depend on the power and strength of Christ. And today, I'd like to go to a third point, and it is this. We need to learn the joys of giving and receiving. Now, with that in mind, go with me to Mark chapter 12. Mark chapter 12, and I'd like to notice here a story, an account in the life of the Lord Jesus, a special encounter that he had. Mark chapter 12, notice verse 41 through 44. Mark 12, verse 41. It says, now Jesus sat opposite the treasury and saw how the people put money into the treasury. Isn't that just intriguing? Jesus is watching people give their offerings. He sees. Let me just pause to say, he knows every dime, every penny, every dollar that God's people give to him. He knows what unsaved people give to him or don't give. So he's watching here how people put the money into the treasury. Probably it was done with some amount of show into these large receptacles that were provided there. And it says in verse 41, and many who were rich put in much. I imagine as the coins jingled into the receptacle, because they didn't have dollar bills, as the coins jingled there and made noise, that Jesus took note of it, and he also saw that probably some of them were making a show of their giving. Notice verse 42. Then one poor widow. Contrast the last line of 41, many who were rich, with the first line of verse 42. One poor widow came and threw in two mites, two very small coins, two mites, which make a quadrans. So these two mites, we might say two pennies, it might have been less than that. She put in these two tiny coins. Not a lot of noise made when those coins went into the receptacle, but she humbly put them in. I can imagine behind her cloak that she reaches out and drops in these two coins, maybe a little embarrassed, but she's not doing it for show. She doesn't want anybody to see, but Jesus sees. He knows. And what intrigues me is how he used this as a teaching moment for his disciples. Verse 43. So he called his disciples to him. Jesus was the master teacher. He used nature. He used history. He used real life examples. He used relationships. He used all of this to teach. So he called his disciples, his learners to him, and he makes a profound statement. Assuredly, I say to you that this poor widow has put in more than all those who have given to the treasury. I can imagine the disciples scratching their heads, pulling on their beards, saying, what is he talking about? They were probably nearby when they heard the jingle of all the money of the rich people. And they saw the little widow put in two little coins with a chink, chink. Hardly any noise at all because it was just two mites. And they wonder, what is he talking about? They scratch their beards and rub their heads and say, how could she have put in more than all of those who've given? And then Jesus goes on to explain in verse 44, for they all put in out of their abundance, but she, out of her poverty, put in all that she had, her whole livelihood. Years ago, I heard a message about this, and there was a point that stood out and still stands out to me. Notice what Jesus was looking at. He was not looking at how much was given, but how much was left. You see, the rich, they gave a lot, but oh, they had so much left. It was almost as if they were just giving a tip. They had so much left, but this poor lady, she gave out of her livelihood. She had nothing left. She was giving all. She was giving a sacrifice, sacrificial giving. You know, I confess, I don't know what that kind of giving is like, to give your last two coins. But this lady did. And God wants us to have open hearts to give to Him with eternity in view. To not lay up treasures here, to have our heart on these things of this life, but to lay up treasure for eternity. We should enjoy the good gifts that God gives us for sure, but our heart should be set on eternity, should be set on Christ. Isn't this an amazing story? You know, some people give great amounts, but the reason they do it is for their own recognition. They want to have their name on a building. They want to have some institution named after them. They want to have some entity to their glory, to their honor. Well, that's not the kind of giving that God honors. He honors the kind of giving that is sacrificial, that is set on His glory. Now let's go to Luke's gospel. And I want you to notice chapter 21 of Luke. Luke chapter 21, verses 1 through 4. And you will notice that it's the same account. And you say, well, why are we reading it again? Well, look how Luke states it. Luke 21, verse 1. Then he looked up and saw the rich putting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow putting in two mites. So he said, truly I say to you that the poor widow has put in more than all. For all these out of their abundance have put in offerings for God. But she out of her poverty has put in all the livelihood that she had. Remember the widow in the days of the prophet? And he said, go make me a cake first. She had just enough meal for one last meal for her and for her son, and then she thought they would die. And the prophet had the audacity to say, but go and make a cake for me first. And then God richly provided for that widow and her son and met all her needs because she learned the joys of priority, the joys of putting God first, the joys of giving unto the Lord even when she thought she couldn't afford it. This widow in Luke and Mark demonstrates that powerful principle, putting God first, even when you think you can't afford it, honoring God with our substance, honoring God with the blessings that He has given to us. That is a tremendous picture, isn't it? Let's not forget it. And know too that no one needs to know. If we give and we look around hoping to have recognition, if we're hoping that somebody will notice and say, oh, aren't you generous? Don't you have a magnanimous heart? You are just so giving. You're so wonderful. You must be so godly. We have a wrong heart attitude if that's what we're expecting. We give unto the Lord. No one needs to know. And we do it for His honor and glory. May God give us giving hearts just like that. Well, now let's go back to our text in Philippians. The Apostle Paul is commending the Philippians because they are learning, they had learned the joys of giving and receiving. And so they had learned to give unto the Lord by giving to the Apostle Paul. And he says, you have done well that you shared in my distress. Remember, he's under house arrest in Rome. Back in Philippi, they gathered money and supplies for him, and they gave to him. And he was so encouraged. And he says, you've done well. There's one approval that we need for our giving, and that's from the hand of God and the voice of God. Well done, child. You have done well. You have given unto me. Now think about it for a minute. Everything that we have comes from God. You say, wait a minute, I worked hard for my house, for my car, for my clothes. Well, who gave you the strength to do that? God gave us strength. And everything that we have is because of Him. And think of the best things. I loved it the other night on our Zoom prayer meeting. A couple of the praises were that God woke us up in the morning, that He gave us another day. Think of that. That's quite a gift, isn't it? Another day. Think about this. Another heartbeat. How about this? Another breath. Good gifts from God. Another mouthful of food. Gifts from God. But more than that, joy in the Lord, peace in the Lord, the words of Scripture that are so rich. I've esteemed the words of your mouth more than my necessary food, Job said. And the law of the Lord is valuable. It's more than gold and silver. It's more delightful than honey. What gifts God has given us. So we do well to give to the glory and praise of God. The Philippians had learned the joy of giving. We need to be willing to give to meet needs. One of the ways that we can give to others is through prayer. We have been praying for believers in hard-to-reach countries and countries where persecution is so strong. And let me give you another Stan country. This is Tajikistan. If you find Afghanistan on a map, just look all around it and you will see all the Stans. There is Turkmenistan, there's Tajikistan, there's Pakistan. Well, Tajikistan is a country of over 9 million people, but it's hard there for believers. The specific prayer request says this: pray with new believers who live under constant pressure to renounce their faith. Constant pressure to renounce their faith. Let's pray for believers in Tajikistan today. Dear Father, thank you for all the gifts you've given us. Help us to be grateful people. Help us to praise you. Help us to learn the joys of giving and receiving. And our Father, today we want to pray for those believers in Tajikistan. We ask, Lord, that you will give them courage and resolve when pressure is put on them to return to the old ways and the old pagan religion. We pray they will turn to the cross. They will run to Jesus. They will be strong. Lord, give them scriptures in their tongue. Give them encouragement today. Give them boldness to witness. Give them pastors and teachers who will instruct them in the ways of the Lord. And dear Father, we pray for revival in America. We pray that you will cause American believers to dedicate their lives to you as living sacrifices, as Romans 12, 1 and 2 say. Lord, I pray that the coronavirus, that the riots, the protests, that all of these things will cause us to run to Jesus, to put him first in our lives, and to say, Lord, here is my life. Use me for your honor and glory. Here's my silver and my gold. Here's everything that I have. Use me for your honor and glory. Oh God, revive your church across the nation today. We ask in Jesus' powerful name. Amen. Well, God bless you, dear friend. Lord willing, we'll see you on Monday at 12 noon for Bible Sunshine. Have a wonderful day. God bless you.